Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Amen. Well, I want to start off this morning by introducing you to a woman by the name of Pat Summitt. Summitt was a legendary women's basketball coach for the University of Tennessee, and over her 38-year career, she was renowned for her leadership and her impact on her players. But as she neared retirement, Summitt began training up her eventual successor, Holly Warlick. Warlick was not only one of Summitt's former players, but she was also a longtime assistant coach of Summitt, and so she was trained within Summitt's program, and so this prepared for a smoother transition. And Summitt's intentionality to train up her successor would pay off sooner rather than later, because unfortunately, Summitt was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, and as a result, she was no longer able to continue coaching. And so in 2012, Warlick took over as head coach of University of Tennessee for women's basketball, and she continued to lead with the values and the methods of Summitt. And Warlick went on to coach at the University of Tennessee for seven seasons. So for the last several weeks, we've been in this series titled Called Out. And as we've been going through this series, we've been looking at different individuals that were called out by God for His plans and His purposes. And we're going to wrap up this series this morning. But as we've been going through this series, not only have we been looking at individuals in Scripture that were called out by God for His plans and His purposes, but I've also encouraged us to ask this question as a church. Are there individuals that God is calling? Are there individuals at First Baptist Church Stockdale that God is calling today? Are there individuals that God is calling to vocational ministry or vocational missions? And I've even asked us to personalize this question and ask, is God calling me? And if you remember, we started out this series by looking at the calling of Moses. And while we've looked at different individuals since looking at Moses, we're going to circle back today and we're going to look at the calling of Joshua. And like Holly Warlick, Joshua was the one that Moses trained as his assistant, rather intentionally to succeed him in leading the people of Israel. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. If you remember, Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. And ultimately, the plan was for them to enter into the promised land, to take possession of the promised land. But what we see is that this first generation of Israelites, that they were disobedient to God. And so instead of going into the promised land, what ended up happening was they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. None of the adults from that generation of the Israelites were allowed to enter into the promised land, including Moses himself. But Moses had this assistant named Joshua. Joshua had walked with Moses. Joshua had learned from Moses. Joshua had led with Moses. And it would ultimately be Joshua who God would use to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Now, as we think about Joshua leading the people of Israel into the promised land, there's a couple of things that I want you to see this morning, a couple of takeaways for you. First, the wilderness was not the intended destination for Israel. Now, God certainly allowed for the Israelites to wander for those 40 years, and He used that 40 years to bring the people of Israel, to bring them to a place of repentance, to bring them into a right relationship with Him. But ultimately, the wilderness was not the place that God had for His people to end. I want you to hear me. If you are currently living in sin, if you're currently living a life that is far from God, I want you to know that is not God's intended destination for you. That is not God's desire for you to end there. Rather, today God is calling you to repentance. God is calling you into that right relationship with Him today. And unlike the Israelites, we don't have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years to come to that place of repentance. Rather, we can come to that place of repentance even today. Now, I wanted to give you this first takeaway because here's our second takeaway. God used a man named Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Now, we don't hear this in our English language, but Joshua is actually a Hebrew name that in Greek translates to another familiar name for us, Jesus. So here in the Old Testament, God used a man named Jesus in Greek to lead His people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. All of Scripture points to Jesus. The Old Testament, it points us to the coming Messiah, and the New Testament is a revelation that the Messiah has come. All of Scripture points us to Jesus. And while Joshua led God's people out of the wilderness, Jesus came to lead us out of sin and into an abundant life, into a forgiven life, into a redeemed life in Him. So let me pause right here and say this. Jesus is the better Joshua. Hear that again. Jesus is the better Joshua. As we look at the Old Testament, we see Joshua leading God's people. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus came to lead us. So would you let Jesus lead you today? Jesus is the better Joshua. So as we look at our passage, we're going to see that Moses' time of leadership has come to an end. Now it's time for Joshua to begin leading. So with that in mind, let's read Joshua 1:1-9. It says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in verse 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant." A couple of things I want to highlight for you there. First, I want to highlight the first part of that verse, "after the death of Moses." Now, it's clear that Moses was called by God. It's clear that Moses was the Lord's servant. And yet, although Moses did serve the Lord faithfully, and he led God's people for some time, we see that not only has Moses' leadership come to an end, but also Moses' life on this earth has come to an end. But not only that, we see that God would continue to accomplish His plans and His purposes without Moses, but God would continue to accomplish His plans and His purposes now through the leadership of Joshua. I want you to hear me, because we've been talking about God calling people for His plans and His purposes and asking this question, is God calling me? I want you to understand, God's calling is never about the person that He calls. God's calling on Moses' life was not about Moses. God's calling on Jeremiah's life was not about Jeremiah. God's calling on Timothy's life was not about Timothy. God's calling on their lives was always about God accomplishing His will in and through these individuals that He called. God's calling is never about the person that He calls, which is important for us to remember because when God calls us to something, it's never about us. Now, maybe God wants to do something in our lives through whatever it is that He's calling us to, but that's still not really about us. God calling Kevin to ministry was not because Kevin is so great and awesome. I am, but but actually, as I look at my life, I recognize, man, God called me in spite of me. Because He is awesome and great. Not because I'm awesome and great, but because He is awesome and great. But you see, if God's calling was about us, His work would cease when we are no longer able to do the job or when we, like Moses, pass away. But when God's calling is not about the person that He calls, but simply about God accomplishing His plans and His purposes in and through the people that He calls, then God's plan, God's will, God's work is able to continue even long after we are gone. God's calling is never about the person that He calls. So we see, after the death of Moses, then we see Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So Joshua knew that he was ultimately going to be Moses' successor. In fact, Moses formally recognized Joshua as his successor in Numbers chapter 27. But even though Joshua was recognized as Moses' successor, it would be years before Joshua would actually step into that leadership role and begin leading. In fact, Joshua was somewhere around 40 to 50 years old when he finally stepped into this leadership role. And I think there's a good reminder for us here. Because what we see with Joshua is that although he knew he was going to eventually take over as leader, that didn't stop Joshua from being faithful right where he was until he stepped into that leadership role. Joshua was faithful even before he was in that leadership position. So let me pause right here and say this. Be faithful right where you are. Even if you sense that God is calling you to something else later on, until that time comes, be faithful right where you are. This is actually one of the first things that I will tell someone when they come to me and tell me that they sense a call to ministry or missions. I'll tell them, be faithful right where you are. Be the type of church member that you will desire to have when you do step into that leadership position. Serve faithfully in the smaller roles, whatever those roles might be, until the time comes that the Lord opens the door for you to walk in whatever it is that He has for you. Be faithful right where you are. Joshua was faithful right where he was, serving under Moses' leadership. But now, Moses has passed away, and it's time for Joshua to step into this leadership position. And so as God calls Joshua to lead, there are three things that I want you to see this morning. First, Joshua was called to have courage in the call. Let's look at verses 6 through the first part of verse 7 again. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous." Joshua was called to have courage in the call. Now, this call for courage was important because God was calling Joshua to do something that 40 years earlier the people were unable to do. We see this in the book of Numbers, that when God called the people of Israel to go into the promised land and to take possession of the promised land, they sent spies in ahead of time, And the spies brought back a report that there were giants in the land and that the city was fortified. And so after hearing this report, the people decided that it was an impossible thing to do. I want you to know, sometimes God calls us to impossible things. Maybe you need that reminder today. Sometimes God calls us to impossible things. At least they appear to be impossible. And maybe they would be impossible if we were to try and do those things in and of our own strength. But Jesus gives this reminder in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, when God called Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, just as he had done 40 years earlier, God wasn't calling Joshua to lead them in his own strength. God wasn't calling the people of Israel to depend upon their own strength. God was simply calling them to be obedient, even though it may look scary to them. And even though it may look impossible to them, God was calling them to simply be obedient. But you know, this is what I've learned. All too often, our fear prevents us from moving forward. So back the summer after I was in eighth grade, our family, we went to Colorado on a trip. And while we were there, we rode something called the Alpine Slide, similar to a mountain coaster if you've been on one of those. But unlike a mountain coaster, the cart is not attached to the track. Instead, there's just a slide down the side of the mountain with a lot of curves. You set your cart in it, and then you can go as fast or as slow as you want. You can control your speed with a joystick. Well, the first several times that I went down the slide, I went full speed ahead. But then, on one of these times, I fell off the cart, and I was just sliding down this slide on my elbows and my back. My elbows got burned pretty badly. And so after that, it didn't stop me from going back up, but after that, I started going down very slowly, right? I was much more hesitant to move forward out of fear, rightfully so. God knew that it would be hard for Joshua to get the people to move forward, and maybe even for Joshua to move forward because of fear. They knew that these people that looked like giants were still in there. They knew that the city was still fortified, just as it had been 40 years earlier. And so God knew that, man, it's probably going to be scary for them once again. And so God's call to Joshua is to be strong and courageous, to not be led by fears, but to be led by a reminder that the task that they were, that was before them, it might look impossible, but it was in fact something that God had called them to. And maybe that's the reminder that you need today. As you might fear whatever it is that God is calling you to do, you might need this reminder that the task that is before you is something that God has called you to. And while it may look impossible to you, with God, all things are possible. Sometimes God calls us to impossible things. So Joshua was called to have courage in the call. Second, Joshua was called to have a commitment to God's word. Let's look at the second part of verse 7 through verse 8 again. It says, "Observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do." Joshua was called to have a commitment to God's word. Now, the CSB translates it as the book of instruction, but other translations say the book of the law. You see, Moses hadn't just passed down a book of his own instructions. Moses didn't pass down Moses' instructions on how to lead the people of Israel. No, Moses had passed down the book of the law. And so the instructions that Moses had passed down were God's instructions. This is what God was telling Joshua to adhere to, not simply to adhere to Moses' words, but God was telling Joshua to adhere to God's word. And I want you to hear me, God is still calling us to adhere to God's word today. God is still calling us to allow for His word to guide us. God is still calling us to allow for His word to instruct us. We are not to look to the words of others. We are not to look to our own words. We are to look to God's word. God is still calling us to adhere to God's word today. And I want you to notice what God said to Joshua. Observe carefully the whole instruction. This is a good reminder, not just for someone that is going into vocational ministry, but for every single believer. As a follower of Christ, we are called to observe and to obey all of God's word. Now, yes, there are some things that were cultural when they were written. There are some things in the Old Testament that we see were fulfilled in Christ. But as we understand those things, our goal, our desire as a Christ follower should be to observe and to obey all of God's word, which means I don't get to pick the parts that I like and simply obey those things, and then the parts that I don't like so much, I get to ignore those things. You see, when I do that, when I begin to decide what I like and or what I think I should do or what I think I shouldn't do, when I decide which parts of God's word I am going to obey, which parts I'm not going to obey, what I'm doing is I'm setting myself up in place of God. But I want you to know, God has not called us to set ourselves up in place of Him. God has called us to live in submission to Him. This is what God was doing with Joshua as well. God was not calling Joshua to lead from his own authority. God was calling Joshua to lead out of a submission to Him. And ultimately, when we live in submission to God by adhering to His word, by walking in obedience to His word, then we can know that we are doing what is right because we're simply obeying what God has commanded us to do. So Joshua was called to have courage in the call. He was called to have a commitment to God's word. Finally, this morning, Joshua was called to have confidence in God's presence. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, "Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua was called to have confidence in God's presence. Understand, this is the same promise that was given to Moses, same promise that was given to Jeremiah, same promise that was given to Timothy last week. God promised that He was going to be with Joshua. Now, I point this out as we get ready to close because all throughout Scripture, God's promise to His people, God's promise to those that He calls is the same. God's promise is, "I will be with you. I will take care of you." And so if you remember nothing else from this series, I want you to remember this. God does not call us to go on our own. God does not call us to serve in ministry on our own. God does not call us to serve on the mission field on our own. God doesn't even call us to go and share the gospel with our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors on our own. God always promises His presence to be with us. And for the believer on this side of the cross, God's promise is not just that He will be with us, but God's promise is that He will be in us because of the Holy Spirit. God does not call us to go on our own. And so as God called Joshua to begin leading the people of Israel, God promised Joshua, "I will be with you wherever you go." And what we see is that Joshua ultimately obeyed God. The people of Israel obeyed God. This time they went in and they took possession of the promised land. So Joshua was called to have courage in the call. He was called to have a commitment to God's word, and he was called to have confidence in God's presence. And maybe you might sense that God is calling you to something today. But listen, before God calls you to anything else, if you have never surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord, first and foremost, God is calling you to salvation. And if you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord today, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is that God is calling you to this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, that's me. I've never put my faith, I've never put my hope, I've never put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord. But today I'm ready to do that. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today can be the day of your salvation. Maybe you're here and you would say, you've given your life to Christ, but you've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess Christ as Lord through baptism. If that's you, then I would love to make that commitment with you this morning. If you'd like to make that decision, you can respond as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers here. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. But it could be that as we've been going through this series, you've been sensing that God is calling you to something. Maybe that's to ministry. Maybe that's to missions. Maybe that's to serve right here within this church body. But maybe you've been sensing that God's calling you to something, and today you just need to surrender to that call. If that's true for you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.